Please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm going to direct your attention to verse 20. This is how the Word of God does read. For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. I want to use this verse to appeal to you with a title that simply goes like this: don't stone the messenger. Let us seek the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, into thy holy hands we commit this time of preaching. Be thou glorified, our Father. Bless the word that will be spoken. And Father, we pray may it fall on good soil, that thy people will say yes to thy will and yes to thy way. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Undoubtedly, the human body is a well-crafted masterpiece. It has the ability to heal itself, to regulate itself, even to reproduce life. Not to talk of its ability to do the intangibles, such as feeling pleasure, rejection, loneliness, expression of happiness. You know, if the human body was a piece of painting, it will definitely be priceless. And it will be placed perhaps in one of the most secured museums in the whole world. Now, with such priceless treasure in our possession, one would expect that each one of us will take good care of our bodies, will preserve it. But this is not always the case. The human body is constantly subject to all kinds of abuse. Ironically, humans themselves are the conduit of such abuse. We abuse our bodies physically by what we ingest, by how we abuse and defile our bodies. We also abuse our bodies mentally and emotionally by what we allow to fester in our heart, such as anger, resentment, unforgiveness, hate, that tends to eat us up from the inside out. You know what? You don't have to look far these days to see the manifestation of all these abuses that humans have placed upon themselves. From the notion of obesity to the problem with substance abuse. Not to talk of the growing moral laxity that we see in our culture, where people do what they want to do with their bodies without no fear or no reverence for God. Without a doubt, loved ones, I believe that the writing is on the wall. The human body is greatly abused. Well, someone might say to me, Pastor, listen, in the grand scale of everything, does our body really matter to God? What I do with my body is pale in comparison to my spiritual life, won't you say? Isn't God concerned more about my spiritual person or my spiritual life? Well, God is concerned about your spiritual life, but God is also concerned about your body. And the reason God is concerned about our bodies is that our bodies are members of the Lord Jesus Christ as a believer, as well as the temple in which the Holy Spirit indwells. And as such, God expects us, commands us as his own, that we treasure this body and preserve and sanctify it in such a way that we will honor God with our bodies. And nowhere is this more blatant than in the epistle of Paul to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And this is what's going to bring me this morning to this epistle. Now, let us put this epistle itself in an historical context. Corinth, which this church was the Las Vegas of antiquity. It was a city with an undesirable notoriety, a city engulfed in all kinds of immorality, so much so that the word Corinthianized became a euphemism for an immoral person. And it was in this city that the Apostle Paul arrived around AD 50 with the aid of Aquila and Priscilla. We can find that in Acts chapter 18. And when they began to minister, over time, the church at Corinth was established. Now, a couple of years later, after leaving Corinth, presumably from Ephesus, the Apostle Paul will now pen a letter today we know as 1 Corinthians. Now, essentially, this epistle has two distinctive purposes. Addressing, first of all, the issues that was going on within this church, as well as answering some questions that these Corinthian believers needed clarification on. Now, since the majority of the members of this church were Gentile believers who were once part of this morally polluted culture, in the process of their spiritual maturity, they were bound to face some challenges relating to their former lifestyle. This was the issue the Apostle Paul dealt with in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, after addressing in the first 11 verses the problem of lawsuit that was happening among believers in this church, the apostle now transitions to another problem that was plaguing this church. That was the problem of immorality, particularly the patronizing of prostitutes. Because in Corinth, there were temple prostitutes that, and in such a context, prostitution was legal. This was the problem that this church was facing. This now brings us to verse 12. So, as a preamble, the Apostle Paul begins to teach about this notion of immorality in this church by laying out two principles. And I want you to pay attention to verse 12. The first principle is this: all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. The second principle: all things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Now, let's pause for a minute. Let's look at these two principles, first of all. What Paul is trying to do in this set of principles is to contrast legal permissiveness as opposed to spiritual edification. Again, you want to pay attention to that. Legal permissiveness is what the law of the land deems to be lawful. Spiritual edification relates to God's economy, whether it is spiritually healthy or not. In the first instance, Paul now says that, listen, there might be some things in your culture in Corinth that might be legally permissible. In other words, the law says you can do it. And the example the law says they can do in Corinth is that nothing stopping a person from going to get a prostitute and be able to fulfill whatever desires they have. But now the Apostle Paul now says, all things might be lawful, but are they spiritually beneficial? That was the first principle he brought up. But this principle is important because this principle helps us to understand one key thing, that lawfulness is not synonymous with something being beneficial. In a context, you can look at it from the state of smoking. At a certain age in a country, in this country, you can walk into any store, show your ID, buy a cigarette, and smoke. But the question is this: if that is your take, is it spiritually edifying? Is it beneficial to you? Is it beneficial to your health? That is the way the Apostle Paul now sets in context his argument as he lays out the problem that was going on in this church. And again, Corinth is not too far from 21st century Western world. Because in our Western world, there are some things that are lawful, But the question you as a Christian got to have to deal with is that, is it beneficial? Is it spiritually beneficial for me to be engaged in such an activity? Though the law might say yes, but does the law say no? Does God say no to it? The second principle the Apostle Paul brings out has to do with legal permissiveness and the notion of bondage. Watch that second principle. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. What the Apostle Paul is saying to us here is very important, is that there are some things that are lawful, that might be lawful, but they might be a gateway to addiction. There might be a gateway to addiction. In the case of the church at Corinth, there might be some things lawful in the city of Corinth, but over time, it might become a source of stronghold spiritual addiction. And the same is true of us today. There are some things that are lawful to us to do or for us to do in this culture. But the question is this: can it be a gateway to addiction? Take, for example, gambling. In the state of Maryland, it is legal for you to go into a casino. It is legal for you to go into any place and gamble. But the question is this: as a Christian, is this going to be a gateway for addiction? You know, at a certain age, you can go into a liquor store and buy alcohol. But the question is this: can it be a gateway to addiction? So the principle the Apostle Paul is putting in place here is a very important principle for us to understand as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that legal permissiveness does not equate spiritual edification. What we need to always view things from as believers is from the lenses of spiritual edification. Yes, we are to obey the law, but more important, we got to be able to say, yes, is God saying to us here, this is spiritually defined? Is God saying to us, this is spiritually beneficial? Will this be a stronghold that will continue to pull me away from Christ? If it's going to pull you away from Christ, then that's not something you got to do. It can be legal, but don't do it. This is what now brings the Apostle Paul to begin now to deal with the issue that's going on in this church. Now, when we come to verse 13 of chapter 6, there is a prevailing logic, according to theologians, that when we come to verse 13, the people said, this is their justification for their action. They said, food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. Now, this is what we call the logic of parallels. A equals B. As such, B must equal A. That is what we call the logic of parallel. And this is the justification for their lifestyle. Now, listen, God created the food, and we ingest the food. It goes into our stomach. So if God created food, goes in, that means the stomach must be for food. But the Apostle Paul now comes against that logic to say, listen, A might equals B, but B necessarily does not equal A. Because food, yes, is designed to go into our belly, is meant to go into our stomach, but not necessarily that our stomach is all for food. Rather, our bodies have a greater purpose to it. This is what the Apostle Paul's argument here becomes in verse 13. He says to us here, he said, but God will do away with both of them in terms of our food and stomach. You know what? Our bodies have greater purpose than the physical fulfillment of our desires. And you know what? We're going to be real here. Because at times we have physical desires, and it's easy to always think our physical desire should supersede what God's purpose is for our life. But our God's purpose for our body is greater than our physical fulfillment. And this is the argument the Apostle Paul now brings up. He says in verse 13, yet the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. You see that? He said, listen, guys, the body is for the Lord. As a Christian, you got to understand that your physical body is for the Lord. And the Lord is for your base, for the body. Implication is that the body that you are possessing has value. The body you're possessing have a purpose. And God is using that for his glory. As such, you got to be careful how you abuse your body. You got to be careful in terms of immorality, what you engage in to defile your body. Now, watch the continuation of the Apostle Paul's argument here. In verse 14, the Apostle Paul said, now God has not only raised the Lord, but he will also raise us up through his power. What is he saying? You know, this body that we have on ourselves. Oh, yes, the Bible said dust to dust, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, ultimately. But the rapture of the church, when the rapture takes place, 1 Thessalonians beginning chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, the Apostle Paul gives us the prophecy of the rapture of the church. It says the dead in Christ will rise first, and we will be caught up to meet him in the air, the Lord when he comes in the air. Now, this is the key. When you pay attention to that scripture, when we get caught up to meet him, we get caught up with the body that we have. We get caught up, and we believe when we get caught up, our physical body is transformed into a glorified body, which tells you that Paul is now saying that, listen, this happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. He received a glorified body. The Lord Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he rose glorified in his body. And we as believers as well, we are going to be raised through his power. We are going to receive a glorified body. That is why your body is important. You see what Paul is trying to teach us here, loved ones? That our bodies are not just to be used and abused, but they are to be maintained and cared for. But most importantly, there's got to be a sense of reverence because there's a greater purpose for your body. And it goes further, it goes further here, and he asks a set of rhetorical questions here. He said, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Now, pause for a minute right there. What does the Apostle Paul mean by this? Then you got to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, around verse 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, the Apostle Paul will write, he said, for by one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slaves or free, we are all made to drink of one spirit. Now, watch what the Apostle Paul will write to us there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. We are all baptized into one body. Implication is that at the moment of salvation, at the moment that you say yes to Jesus, you are not only indwelled by the Holy Spirit. You are not only regenerated. You are not only redeemed, but you are also baptized into the body of Christ. As such, you become members of Christ. You see the picture here, loved ones? You and I become members of Christ. You see the greater purpose of your body? We become members of Christ. And that is what the Apostle Paul is now raising here. He said, do you not know that your bodies, watch it now, not your soul, but your bodies are members of Christ. It's important to understand this, that this body that we indwell in are members of Christ. And then he goes forth and says, shall I then take away the members of Christ and make it members of a prostitute? You see, the argument is raising for these believers in Corinth. And the same argument applies to each one of us today. That we need to be careful what we do with our bodies because we are members of Christ. And as members of Christ, we can be careful that we don't associate our bodies with things that are defiling, saying things that does not glorify God. But we as God's people must understand this very clearly. And the Apostle Paul goes further. He says, may it never be. Verse 16, again, it begins another rhetorical question. He said, do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. Now, let me park here for a minute, everybody. You know, this verse, verse 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, I've generated a lot of discussions among commentators. And the discussion about commentators is what exactly is the Apostle Paul trying to say here? What does it mean that he who joins himself to have become one body with her? Now, we got to go back to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, 24, the Lord, we read, says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his mother and his father, and the two shall become one flesh." Now, the key one flesh actually has to do with sexual intimacy. A sexual intimacy that's only permissible. Watch what I just said, loved ones. Sexual intimacy in God's economy. And I need to make this very clear to you all this morning. Sexual intimacy in God's economy, it's only permitted within the boundaries of marriage. You cannot engage in it out of marriage. It is biblically wrong. It is a sin before God. And this is what the Apostle Paul is trying to capture here. He's saying to us here, listen. He said, he will now joins himself. What you are meant to do within the boundary of marriage, you now go ahead and do it out of wedlock, especially in the case of the church at Corinth with a prostitute. You have now become one flesh with them. The implication is that there is far more implication, far more ramification to the notion of sexual intimacy than just the physical. There is the notion of oneness that takes place in the marital bed. There is a notion of oneness that has some spiritual undertone to it. And again, you got to look at it from a very scientific angle. Because from a scientific viewpoint, it is only through a sexual intercourse that you can conceive life. In other words, you can't conceive life by just touching a female. You can't conceive life by just hugging a female. You conceive life when you come into an intimate situation with another person. And in that situation, life is conceived. That tells us that the notion of one flesh, that notion of sexual intimacy, which many of us just think is an exercise of physical pleasure, has a spiritual undertone to it. And this is my position. I believe there is more spiritual undertone in the area of sexual intimacy than we all understand. Because it is through this process that life is generated. God has designed that to be the conduit in which reproduction takes place. As such, being one with someone that you're not in a covenant relationship with is not only a sin, but it has a spiritual ramification to it. And I believe this is why the Apostle Paul will now say this. And I want to watch what it says right here, verse 17. He said, "But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him." Implication is that when you are joined with Christ, you become one spirit with Christ. So when you are joined with a person that is not in a covenant relationship with you, in the example of the believers occurring with a prostitute, you become one body with them in a spiritual way. You see the ramification. That is why it's important as a believer in Christ Jesus to understand what the Bible is teaching you and I about how we need to conduct our bodies, how we need to preserve morality, how we need to live a life of sanctification to the glory of God. The failure to do that, not only disobedience to God, but there are spiritual ramifications, I believe. And I want you to watch what the Apostle Paul will now say. Verse 18, he said, "Flee immorality." Then he said, "Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body." This is huge. This is huge, loved ones. What does the Apostle Paul mean by this? Every sin a man commits is out of the body. Well, I think what it means is simple. You know, when a person maliciously slander a person, it does it and it's outside the body. It speaks it out. When a person steals, it steals. When a person lied, the lie. But in the case of sexual intimacy, with a person that is not your spouse, with a person that's not in a covenant relationship with you, there are greater ramifications. Watch what I just said. To that activity or to that act, there is a sin against your own body because of the spiritual undertone that actually follows that action in itself. This is my position about this. That is what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Listen, that every sin a man commits outside the body, but the moral man sins against his own body. And again, let me give you a more practical example this morning. I want you to watch all the sexually transmitted diseases. It's through the example or through the act of a conjugal relationship between a man and a woman. You don't speak evil of a person and have a sexual transmitted disease. You don't speak evil of a person and have this issue with your head. But again, when you go into different partners, you have the risk. There is a sin against your body. There is something that not only physically happens, I believe happens on a spiritual level. Listen, loved ones, this morning, we as believers must have to now go back to the scriptures to understand how God expects us to actually take care of this vessel that he has given us. How God expects us to live a life that honors and glorifies his holy name. And watch what the Apostle Paul will say right here in verse 19. He asks another rhetorical question. He said, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Stop for a minute right there, loved ones. You know, you got to go back to the Old Testament. You got to go back to the Old Testament to understand the concept of the temple from the tabernacle that was built by Moses. And I want you to watch even the tabernacle built by Moses, first of all. The tabernacle built by Moses in the wilderness was unique. And in those contexts, there are two compartments. The first is the holy place, and the second is the holies of holies. And the same was brought into the temple. And the temple was sacred. The holies of holies was a place that was only designed for the high priest to enter once a year. Because in the holies of holies was the Ark of the Covenant, which was indicative of the presence of God. And the high priest has to go there after he has atoned for his own sin and he has sprinkled his own body to go into that place, and he goes there once a year. Now, I want you to picture the idea of the temple in terms of the Old Testament and see what the Lord is saying to us. That the moment we get saved, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit is now making his abode within you and I. He's living in us. As such, we too have become temples of God. We have become temples of God. And I want you to think about this, loved ones. Since you are now temples of God, how do we now take care of this temple? You know, I've never seen in my years of preaching and pastoring someone come to a physical building of a church smoking a cigar in the church. I've never seen it in my many years of pastoring. Someone coming into a church and having a bottle of Jack Daniels and sitting in the pew. If you revere this brick and mortar, you revere it so much that you don't want to do anything to actually defile it, then think about the Holy Spirit living in your physical body. What and how do you do? You know, what are you to do? How are you to live your life? How are you to live your life in fear? How are you to live your life in reverence? How are you to live your life? And this body of yours, it's precious. Listen, your body's precious. Your body to God has value. It has a purpose to it. You are not only members of Christ. You are endured by the Holy Spirit. And as such, what we do with our body matters to God. And this is what Paul is trying to communicate to these believers at Corinth. And I believe Paul is trying to speak to us in our culture today. And look around us. Decadence. Look around us. Moral laxity. Look around us. This is just total chaos morally. And it's happening in the Church of Jesus Christ. We got people in the church living wrong. And your bodies are meant to be temples of the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul will go for here. He said, whom you have from God, and that is not of your own. Then he goes in verse 20. He said, for you have been bought. The word bought is the word we get the word redemption. You have been redeemed. You have been bought with a price. Jesus has paid the price. You belong now to Jesus. And because you belong to Jesus, your perspective needs to change. Because you belong to Jesus, your desire needs to change. Because you belong to the way you carry yourself needs to change. And the Apostle Paul said, therefore, glorify God in your body. loved ones this morning, you and I need to honor God in our bodies. We need to honor God by the way we carry ourselves. We need to honor God by how we live a life that glorifies his name. Listen, loved ones, God honors those who honor him. Let us be men and women of great moral pedigree that lives a life that glorifies our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Our Father, this morning we do honor and thank thee for the privilege to come together here to hear from heaven. Father, the title of this sermon is simple. Don't stone the messenger. I'm just a messenger, Lord, seeking to make known that oracle to thy people. Father, may thou now grant wisdom and understanding, that everyone under my voice will understand thou, says the Lord, and then it will give glory to thy holy name. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen.